My topic is unforgivable sin. Unforgivable sin. You don't want to go to heaven and have God throw you back down, right? So today we want to know what it is. Really, I didn't want to preach about this, but because I made an oath to myself and to my God, I said, God, I'll preach whatever this book says. I just can't pick and choose, you know, what I like. And obviously, this is something I don't like, because it's a hard theological topic. And I hope you're patient with me today and get to know what it's all about. Have you ever been offended at somebody who really hurts you? That you just couldn't be around that person. And with somehow, it was hurting you. Have you ever been in a situation where you have offended somebody else? We don't like to admit it, but there's people that we have offended. It's not a good feeling. I know a guy who acts like I offended him, and I came up to him and said, did I offend you in some way? Because there's tension between me and you. And at first it was like, no, you didn't offend me, you didn't do anything. And now I hear from other people, he says that I did offend him. It's not a good feeling when you offend somebody. But guess what? You can always have an opportunity to go and say, listen, I'm sorry. But what if they don't forgive you? It will be painful, wouldn't it? But guess what? Doesn't matter how painful it is, you can still live with it. You can find another friend, right? You might be awkward. You might try to avoid each other. But you will find somebody that you can hang out with again. But let me take it a step deeper. What if you offended your mother or father and they got so mad at you and they said, I will never forgive you. I disown you. You're not my son anymore. You're not my daughter. How many of you would agree that that would impact our relationship? It will even impact the happiness in our life. Imagine you go to your parents and they said, I don't want you here. You're not welcome here anymore. That would be horrible. But even with that, we can live because it's a temporary thing. It's not an eternal thing. But imagine if, let me take a step deeper, if God says, I will not forgive you. That would be horrible. Because that would be an eternal decision. It would hurt you for eternity. So let's open to Bible, Mark chapter 3, Mark chapter 3, verse 28 through verse 30. And let's read this. This is what Jesus said to religious leaders, to Pharisees, who were accusing him that he was demon-possessed, and he was casting out demons by the power of prince of demons. Okay? So now this is his response to those people. So listen carefully. Assuredly, and this is what he's saying, surely I say this, assuredly, he makes an emphasis, I say unto you, all sin will be forgiven the sons of men. Say, all sin will be forgiven. Say it, all sin will be forgiven. How many? All. And whatever blasphemies they may utter. But he who blasphemes against Holy Spirit never has forgiveness. Whoa. That's in the Bible. That's Jesus. The all-forgiving Jesus says, he who blasphemes against Holy Spirit will never be forgiven, but is subject to eternal condemnation. Because they said, he has an unclean spirit. Now you see why I don't want to preach this. But I have to. If you're a Christian, and you've been a Christian for a while, it's almost impossible for you to fathom this scripture. I mean, for me, it's almost impossible. I don't know how to read this. If you've been a Christian for a while, and in our nation, which is mostly Christian nation, forgiveness of sin is so freely available, just like water. We can't even imagine a life without water. I mean, it's everywhere. You can go in the back of our lobby up there and you can drink free water. You can go pretty much anywhere. You can go to the bathroom and open the sink, you know, thing, and you can drink water. Right? Water is so freely available. Same with forgiveness of sins. It's been preached over and over again. Every one of you, it's probably hard for you to imagine what that means, that God will not forgive you sin in this age or in the age to come. And so today we want to know. You want to know? Be careful that you'll listen very carefully, because two things will happen today. People will be free today from certain things. Some people will be bound. How so? The devil has a way to take the words of God and twist them. How many of you know that's true? So if you're not careful of listening, what am I saying? Because I'm preaching good news. But sometimes Satan will take the words and make you misunderstand them. And I've had people come to me after the service and get mad, red in the face. So what you're saying is, and I'm like, no, you didn't listen what I was saying. Because the words that I'm speaking must be interpreted with the power of the Holy Spirit. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying. So my message today is not a condemnation message. It is a good news message. Amen. So just wanted to set it straight that it's not a bad news message. Now, I want to tell you a story. A lady who was about 30-some years old, young lady, came to a pastor. And I heard this story from that pastor. And she told him that when she was 13 years old, she got so mad at her mother that she just didn't know how to hurt her. She ran into her room and started cursing against Holy Spirit. Every word she could find. And then she ran out and said, see what you made me do? Now I curse the Holy Spirit. It's like I'm going to stab myself in the stomach, hope that you feel the pain. Although if it's your kid, you will feel the pain too, or even more. Amen. So she runs up to mother and says, this is what I've done. And so she comes to the pastor and says, pastor, do I have salvation? Interesting question. Maybe you've asked that question. Because I've had people come to me and ask me, how bad do you have to be when God doesn't forgive you anymore? And I could see it on their faces that they believe that God will not forgive them anymore. And so I've dealt with this question. If you're a Christian, you'll deal with this question. And if you're a Christian, you'll have to, leader especially, you'll have to answer this question. So be careful and listen. When I was about 10 to 12 years old, and I grew up in a Christian home, and I was, I read the Bible probably by 10 years old because my parents were really strict. You have to read the Bible. So I read maybe not like Leviticus, but like every, you know, New Testament for sure, like Kings and Samuel and things like that. Genesis, you know, Exodus. I read most of the books in the Bible. And then when I got to this scripture started bothering me. And so what started happening, I would be laying in bed and, I couldn't sleep, 10, 11, 12 years old, couldn't sleep. And in my thought, the devil starts using that scripture against me. He says, you probably blaspheme Holy Spirit. I didn't even know what blaspheme Holy Spirit means. But the devil would tell you, you blaspheme. That's it. You have no forgiveness. Too bad. Just start living how you know, for the devil. Because God doesn't forgive you. And then I was like, but I don't even know what that means in my thought. So the devil starts, you know, saying, well, what do you think that means? Well, if you say this word, would that blaspheme the Holy Spirit? And I would think words, you know, and I wouldn't want to. And it would come to my mind and I would be like, no. Some of you don't understand because you have a tough conscience, and that's good. I have a soft conscience. I rethink everything, rethink. Sometimes I could be thinking half of a night, you know, just thinking through things, you know, what did I say, what, you know, and so it would bother me, for a long time, and I remember feeling bad. I remember feeling almost hopeless, and I know that maybe some of you have felt that in your life. So we want to for sure today make a statement, make a declaration of what it means to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. So what is this sin that cannot be forgiven? Now let's go to the word blasphemy. How many of you know what blasphemy even means? Okay, 1, 2, 3. Do you know that it's not the words that you say? You know that it's not the word. It's not some cuss word or curse word that you can say against Holy Spirit. Because Apostle Paul, before he was Apostle Paul, he was Saul of Tarsus. He killed Christians. He said he was a blasphemer. And yet on the road to Damascus, when he was walking, God met him. And he became the greatest apostle there was. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. So how can a man who cursed Holy Spirit, blasphemed Holy Spirit, killed Christians, be the greatest apostle? So for sure we know that it's not the words that you speak against Holy Spirit that's blasphemy. Let me read you a definition of blasphemy. It's expressing lack of reverence. It's showing disrespect towards something sacred. Let me read it to you again. It's expressing lack of reverence. It's showing disrespect towards something sacred. So it's not even the words you say that is blasphemy against Holy Spirit. So by you thinking something in your mind, you didn't blaspheme the Holy Spirit. For sure. Sometimes devil will come to your mind and says, you're demon possessed. If he's saying to you that, that's fear. That means you're not. He'll tell you, you have no forgiveness anymore because of what you've done. That's a lie. Because Paul says, I was the chief of sinners. And guess what? From chief of sinners to the greatest apostle who gave his life for Jesus, had his head cut off. So if you're struggling with the thought that you blaspheme or you're beyond forgiveness, that's not true. Because Bible says all sins will be forgiven. Now, let's mention a few sins. In Catholic doctrine, there's 7 deadly sins. How many of you know what they are? Yes, no? Let me read them to you. They're anger, greed, laziness, sloth, pride, lust, envy, and gluttony. Listen, yesterday I sinned with gluttony. I knew I was doing it too. But we were in a carnival grill. Man, that meat was so good there. Oh, and we ate already, we paid, and then we did it again, didn't we? And then one of my friends said something so funny that I was laughing so hard, I think I pulled some muscles in my stomach. I'm hurting today. So I know I did something wrong. But I repented. I said, Lord, ate too much. But I did repent because I knew I was, you know. And so there's 7 deadly sins. But guess what? Every sin you repent from or of will be forgiven you. All sins will be forgiven. Now, murder, child rapists, these are horrible sins. Torture, kidnapping, child molestation, those are horrendous sins. But God says all sins will be forgiven. All sins. So if you're thinking today that maybe I've done something in my past that God does not forgive me from, let me tell you, the word all will be forgiven. Satan likes to come and take one sin and says, this one he can't. And somehow we believe him. Jesus said all sins. There is other sins in the Bible. In Proverbs chapter 6, let me read it to you, verse 16. There's 7 sins that God hates. Okay, let's read them together. 7 sins that God hates. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. These 6 things the Lord hates. Yes, 7 are abomination to him. Listen to this. A proud look. Whoa. How many of you have ever had a proud look? Proud look. Lying tongue. How many of you ever lied? God hates those things. Hands that shed innocent blood. I hope you didn't do that. A heart that devises wicked plans. How many of you ever made a wicked plan against a friend or a person who hurt you? I've done. And then I caught myself, what the heck am I thinking? I made up an evil plan. I don't even do this with good plans. But with evils, I had like 3 steps of how to hurt a person without them ever knowing. And God says he hates that. And then you catch yourself, you're like, oh Lord, forgive me. Feet that are swift in running to evil. So whenever there's something evil happening, you're like, I'm there. I'm there. Bible says God hates that. False witness who speak lies. Have you ever had a friend say, just lie about the truth in court? Maybe it wasn't in court. Maybe it was in school. Can you come with me and tell that I didn't do it. It was somebody else. Bible says God hates that. False witness who says lies. And one who sows discord among brethren. That's the one who goes in between two friends and says, do you know what she said? You know what he said about you? And then he just lets you fight. God hates that. But guess what? Even if you did that and you repented, God would forgive you for it. All sins that you've ever committed, God will forgive you for. Do you remember in 1 Corinthians, Paul writes to this church, who's kind of messed up church. One of their brothers, maybe even leader, was sleeping with his stepmother. And they were like, oh, it's all cool. So Paul writes him in 1 Corinthians and says this, listen, I want that guy to be saved, but give his body to Satan so his spirit would be saved. I mean, that's dramatic. That's crazy. Notice, what does it mean to give his body over to Satan so his spirit would be saved? Give his body so Satan... You remember when God gave body of Job to Satan? What did Satan do? He plagued him. He hurt his body. But he said, do not touch his soul or his spirit. Don't you touch that. And so Paul says, give him over till he repents. In 2 Corinthians, I mean, that was a horrible sin. But in 2 Corinthians, we see something else. Paul says, listen, I heard that he repented already. Take his body back from Satan and restore him as a brother. Amen. Don't let Satan hurt him anymore. Take him back. He's a brother. So notice, sins that we repent of, God will forgive us from them. So what is blasphemy against Holy Spirit? And let me give you a simple and yet complicated explanation. Number one, simple one. It's continual rejection of his work in your life. Blasphemy against Holy Spirit is continual rejection of the Holy Spirit in your life. So Holy Spirit comes to you and touches your heart, says, come on, what you're doing is wrong. And you say, no, I don't want to hear you. And that's not a one day thing. It's not even 1 year thing. It's not even 10 year thing. It's almost sometimes a lifetime thing of rejecting the work of Holy Spirit in your life. Do you know that Pharisees, although all the prophecies were pointing to Jesus, although all the miracles was happening, they still decided to say that this man is not from God. And by doing that, they closed the door. Because if Holy Spirit is not the one who saves, who's going to save you? Let's say there's 2 doors. One on the right is the light, is the salvation door. Or windows on your computer. One on the right is the salvation one. One on the left is condemnation one. And so you choose. You stand and you choose. And you say, the salvation one cannot be. So I'm going to close this and delete it out of my computer. Who else is going to save you? Do you remember Jesus said, if you say that light is darkness, where's the light then? If you rejected light, if you rejected the one who saves, who is going to save your soul? And some people come up with many excuses and they say, well, Jesus is not the only way. And then they close the door and they start making up their own ways, making themselves God. I can choose my own way. I don't like your way, Jesus. I can choose my own way. So it's continual rejection of the cross. It's continual rejection of the good news. It's the continual rejection of the power of God. It doesn't happen overnight. But sometimes you get to the end of your life and you don't know what you believe. Let me read you some last quotes of atheists who were dying, their last words when they were dying. Sir Thomas Scott was the famous atheist, and he said this: "Until this moment, I thought there was neither God nor hell. Now I know and feel that there are both, and I'm doomed to perdition by the just judgment of the Almighty." That's the last words before he died. Now, is that repentance? No, that's just declaration. But that's not repentance. You remember Judas? He felt sorrowful, and then he went and killed himself. Instead of repenting, he went and killed. So a lot of people think, okay, I'm going to live how I want to all my life. I'm going to take everything I can from this world, and then I'm going to repent. Don't do that. God says, today is the day of repentance. Today is the day of salvation. Don't wait forever. Another, Voltaire: "I'm abandoned by God and men. I will give you half of what I'm worth if you will give me 6 months of life." And the doctor said, it couldn't be done. Then listen what he says: "Then I shall die and go to hell." Atheist, doesn't believe in God, doesn't believe in hell, but when he starts feeling it, suddenly you can't deny what you feel and what you see. Last Easter, I told you a story of a lady, a mother-in-law of one of the ladies here in church in the early service. She told me this story. She said her mother-in-law was not a believer, but she always called herself Lutheran. How many of you know denomination will not save you? Now, Lutherans are good people, but she just wasn't a believer. She never went to church, and usually people will speak with their feet. Do you go where God's people are, or do you go where ungodly are? And she just never went to church and just never really believed in that. And when she was laying on her bed, she was 92 years old, she would yell in agony for, I think, 2 weeks. She would yell in agony, and she would describe that there would be things biting her and fire. She's like, "Remove these things from me. Get them away from me." She would be crying for 2 weeks. Now, she was never a believer, but when the time came, her family was Christian, and they were like, "Please pray this prayer," and she just couldn't. For 2 weeks, she couldn't pray the prayer. And finally, I don't know, God's just so merciful. Because of prayers of the family, he gave her that moment. And she finally prayed that prayer and said, "I'm a sinner, forgive me." She came to herself. Remember, repentance does not come from you. It's inspired by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is the one who brings us repentance. You think you're so good that you saved yourself? No, it wasn't you. He's knocking at the door every time the gospel is preached. And she repented and died in peace. She was tormented for 2 weeks, then died in peace. True story. Robert Ingersoll, famous atheist, before he died, he said this: "Oh God, if there is a God, save my soul if I have a soul." Somebody says, another account of this, they said, "Oh God, if there be a God, save my soul if I have a soul, from hell if there be hell." Now, is that a repentance? No. That's not a repentance, if there be a God. That's not a statement of faith. We don't want to get to that moment because we rejected him in life. And by the end of life, he says, beyond repentance. Unforgiven. We don't want to get there. That's why we have an assignment in Sioux Falls. We were placed in the city downtown so we can reach out all around us and not wait till people Ask us to come to the hospital and pray for them. But now, bring him closer to Jesus. Tell him about the goodness of God and how he forgives all sin. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter how bad you've been. All of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I don't have to live with the guilt of my sins. I don't have to pay, you know, go to the gas station, give a quarter just to feel that my sins are forgiven. I still give, but it's not to buy my forgiveness. I feel sorry for you if you have to buy your forgiveness. I heard a story, a mafia guy came to the priest and said, priest, will $1,000 take away my sins? Priest says, we can try. You don't want to do that. That doesn't work. You can't buy God. You can only believe. And that comes from Holy Spirit. And guess what? You are all carriers of the Holy Spirit. So whatever you speak, Holy Spirit is present to save. And sometimes you don't know, but the seed of the Holy Spirit has been dropped in their heart. And they will be saved. I noticed that before it was faster when people got saved. Right now it takes about, for a lot of people, a year before they really, you know, change their, or 2 years before they really change, you know, their life. But once the Holy Spirit has been dropped through you, through you, through you, it will take effect. Amen. Oh. So what's the big deal about Holy Spirit? Why is it not God? Blasphemy against God. Why not blasphemy against Jesus? Why is it against Holy Spirit? What is this thing, Holy Spirit? Amen. He's the one who works with the heart of every person and leads them to repentance. You know that God is not here today? He is by His Spirit, but God lives in heaven. You know that Jesus is not here? Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. He's still there. He's come. He's going to return. But guess what? There's somebody who's right next to you. Gentle helper. And that's Holy Spirit. In the book of Luke, he's seen as a dove, a bird, dove coming down, white dove coming down. Doves are very gentle birds and creatures. He's gentle. Bible says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. He's easily grieved. When we disobey him, we hurt. Because he is God, all in one, but yet he's individual too. He's hurting when we hurt him, when we disobey, when we... God is in heaven. Jesus came and paid the price, but Holy Spirit is right next to you and in you. Let me prove this to you. I want to read something from John chapter 14. And I'm almost finished and I'll make some clear points here. John chapter 14 verse 16 says this. And I will pray the Father and He will give you another helper. So number one, He's a helper. Guys, your wife is your helper. That's how real He is. Amen. I will give you another helper and He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him or knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. He lives in you, with you, and will be in you. Now, this was before Jesus died. So now it means He's around us and He is in us. He's the one who knocks on the door of your heart. Bible says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God truly are sons and daughters of God. He's the one who is a witness to our spirit that I'm saved. He's the one when I move away from Him a little bit. He's the one who says, get back, get back, get back. He's the one who teaches me. He's the one who reveals to me things about the future, about now. He's the one who protects me. When I'm ready to make a bad decision, He says, don't. That's Holy Spirit. Don't take Holy Spirit lightly. God really doesn't. God puts him high. Holy Spirit, Spirit of truth. If a person rejects the only one who could save, who else do you turn to for your salvation? And Jesus was speaking to religious people who crucified Jesus. They didn't even give him a chance. You know, if you don't believe something, just say, you know, there's some people who say, I don't reject it, but I don't really believe it yet. That's better than saying, I don't believe it. It's not even an option. Imagine Pharisees and religious people. They crucified him. And if you know proud religious people, it's hard to say the guy we spat on, the guy we beat, the guy we lied about, now have to be the guy we confess as God, as Savior. Don't put yourself in that situation. Notice when Jesus spoke to Pharisees and religious people, he didn't say that by saying that I have a demon, you have already committed the sin. He never said that. But he said, by saying that I have a demon, you are placing yourself on a dangerous ground. Because if I do this work by the Holy Spirit and you call him demon, who else do you turn to? There is no one else. Next, and this is almost my last point. Number one point was continual rejection of his work in your life. That's Christian or un-Christian. Now let me talk to you about Christians. Can Christians commit blasphemy? Can they? Well, if you heard the doctrine, once saved, always saved, then you say, no, it can't be. But there was some people who... Judas, he believed in Jesus, and then he was lost for eternity after he betrayed him. But notice, Peter betrayed him too. He said, I do not know him. 3 times. And yet Peter is one of the greatest apostles. Judas, son of perdition, destruction. Can Christian reject him after they knew him? Let me open to you Hebrews chapter 10:26. Hebrews 10:26 says this. Listen to this. This is crazy. Now, be careful here. Be careful here because the devil is a liar. So watch. For if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there is no longer remains a sacrifice for sin. Now, verse 28, anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. So, if you rejected Moses' law, you died right there. But listen to this. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace. So what does it mean to blaspheme the Holy Spirit? That scripture gives us one of the closest looks to it. It says, you were saved, you knew God, you lived for him. Then you fall away, not just fall away. You say, I don't want this Jesus. I don't want nothing to do with him. I want Holy Spirit out of my life. I want to live how I want to live. I don't believe in this anymore. Although you've experienced it. You say, I don't believe in this anymore. And I'm done with God. Now, that's not blaspheming the Holy Spirit yet. But that's walking on dangerous ground. Because if you do that all your life, eventually he will leave you, and then who will save you? If you do that all your life. Now, I'm not talking about people, because I've done this. I know it's a sin, but I still do it, knowing that I will repent of it. How many of you have done it? I don't want to do it maybe, And then it'll repent. So every sin you are able to repent of cannot be blasphemy against Holy Spirit. It's the people, and this is very rare, who reject Him and reject Him and reject Him and say, I want nothing to do with Him. And then at the end of their life, they have no ability to repent. They don't even feel repentance. Because remember, repentance, salvation is of the Lord. Now, God is merciful and He gives people even chances before they die. Remember the thief on the cross? But notice there was two thieves on the cross. One was given an opportunity to repent. The other was cursing God, cursing Jesus as He was dying on the cross. How stupid can you get? So, if you're troubled today, if you feel remorse and desire to change, you have not blasphemed Holy Spirit. The sign of your remorse is the Holy Spirit working with you. And if He's working with you, how can you say He denied you? He didn't. If you feel remorse, I know we still got sins. And David says, there's sins that I don't even know I'm committing, God. Please, cover them under the blood. But it's a continual, listen to me, it's continual rejection of His work in your life. And saying that Holy Spirit is not real thing. It's not God. Then if He's not, then who is? There's nobody else. Now if you have known this Holy Spirit, or maybe today, He's speaking to your heart. And He's saying to you, hey, I'm knocking at the door. Open the door. Let me in. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till another day. Receive Him today. Right now, you can open your heart and say, Holy Spirit, come in. Come in. In your mind, you can say, Holy Spirit, I open up to you. Lesson for Christians, those who know for sure. I know for sure that I've not blessed from the Holy Spirit. Actually, I don't think anybody here did. That's why you're here. No, seriously. I don't think you did. Nobody here did, because not unless you're some kind of a warlock or something sitting here and just trying to put spells on me or something. I don't know, but for the most part, the reason you are here is because God brought you here. Holy Spirit has brought you here. So stop fighting with yourself and thinking, I did it. No, you didn't. It's a lie of the devil. We don't believe it. Amen. Now, what should we do as Christians? We should reach out to more people. And as we speak, as we invite Him, the Holy Spirit has opportunity to work on their life. Bible says, how can they believe if they have not heard? How can they hear if there is no preacher? You know that all of you are preachers of this gospel, of this truth. And the truth is good news that all sins will be forgiven. And blasphemies. Paul did a lot of blasphemies when he was not a believer, and yet he became greatest apostle. So stop beating yourself up and saying, hey, I've done too much, Pastor. You don't know what I've done. I don't care what you've done. Maybe you're still doing it. All sins will be forgiven. As soon as you repent, as soon as you turn with your heart and say, God, I don't want to do it. I'm still doing it. Maybe you're fighting with pornography. Girls too. And maybe you can't stop. Maybe you're fighting with some other addiction and you can't stop. But you are sorry. This Holy Spirit working on your heart. Why do you even feel sorry? You should feel good. But the reason you feel sorry, because He's working on you. And listen, don't reject Him. Just say, Holy Spirit, just be patient. I'm trying. Or you can say, Holy Spirit, give me power to change. I'm trying. But don't say, I don't need You. I don't want to even feel this guilty feeling. I don't want to feel this Holy Spirit, bothering me. I feel bothered by You. Leave me alone. But even if you do that, He still won't leave you alone. Jesse Duplantis said when he would be in the bars doing cocaine, snorting cocaine, he would be hearing Holy Spirit say, hey, what are you doing? And be like, who is that? Even when you're at your worst, He's there with you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, how awesome. Do you see the new person of the Holy Spirit today? He's next to you. He's your personal God. He's living with you. He's living in you. He's the same God who did things for Jesus and healed the sick and cast out demons and made miracles through Jesus. It wasn't Jesus. It was Holy Spirit. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I can do my assignment here on earth by the power of the Holy Spirit. You can do your assignment here on earth by the power of the Holy Spirit. You can achieve your goals, your dreams, because they're not yours. They're His. He gave them to you.